6 o'clock. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be here again. We also want to thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, and we're just asking again that you help our mayor and our city council men and women as they are before this city to make good, sound, wise decisions that will benefit our town. And Lord, we just ask that you lead them and direct them, Lord, because we know that all things will work together for the good to them that love you and that are called according to your purpose. And Lord, we also want to just say a word of prayer for the Watkins family, Lord, and that they lost a family member. We just ask that you give comfort to all those that are involved in every situation and circumstance for this loss. And we just ask, God, that you bless each one that's here, each one that talks, that you would give guidance and help us, oh Lord, to make good, clear, sound decisions for our town. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to call November 7th, 2022 meeting to order. Join me in Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you have a motion to accept the minutes from the previous meeting, please?
Motion to accept the minutes.
I second.
Motion been made and regularly seconded. Accept the meeting. Sarah, call the roll.
Joe.
Yes.
Jenny.
Yes.
Connie.
Yes.
Tim.
Sure.
Teresa.
Yes.
And Allie.
Yes.
All right. All right, we're going to have the audit read first. Y'all got your packets in front of you? The standard audit we do every year.
Good evening, everyone. Our audit opinion on the city's financial statements is stated on page 2 of the audit report. The city has received a clean audit with no modifications necessary to the standard auditor's report. In our audit of the city's financial statements, we considered the city's internal control over financial reporting. We noted two items concerning internal control that are listed on page 64. Both items are typical in small cities. Included on that page are the remedies currently being implemented by the city to address these issues. We also performed tests of the city's compliance with certain provisions of laws and regulations. The results of our tests disclosed no non-compliance. The city continues to be financially sound. Some financial highlights of the city's fiscal year include the following changes. Net cash balances increased over $400,000, or approximately 17.2% from the previous fiscal year. The city has approximately $10 million invested in capital assets. The city added approximately $350,000 in capital assets during the fiscal year ended June 30, 2021. The city's net loan obligations decreased approximately 23.3%. Total revenues increased 16% from prior year, while expenses increased 6.8% from prior fiscal year. The city ended the fiscal year with an increase in net position of $546,000. I would like to thank the mayor and the city clerk for their assistance with the audit process and for their hospitality. Thank you for the opportunity to serve the city's auditor. I look forward to working with you in the future. But thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hold on, get some. All righty. Do we have someone here from the library? Yes.
Hi, my name is Tara O'Hagan, and I'm the new director of the Bullitt County Public Library. Just give you a brief history on me. Well, I've been in Bullitt County Library for 7 weeks. I started the day we did the ribbon cutting for the new Central Library in Shepherdsville. It was my first day. But I have been a librarian for 31 years. 27 of those were in public libraries. I built 6 libraries in Kentucky, including one on Fort Knox. My husband is ex-military. I built 2 in Louisville, 1 in Meade County, 1 in Washington County, Springfield, Kentucky, and was a school media specialist at St. Athanasius in Louisville the last 8 years building their library. So, been around the block with the libraries. So I want to thank Councilwoman Preston for inviting me here. I kind of want to put you at ease a little bit. If you're wondering, I've heard some discussion about the Lebanon Junction branch of the Bullitt County Library, and it will be open. We have no plans to close it ever, to be honest with you. Actually, we are doing a refresh on the Lebanon Junction branch. Now that things have kind of settled with the building at Central, and that was a very big undertaking for our associate director. She was filling in as an interim. And we are still dealing with, you know, building crisis that happen when you have a new building. We are turning back toward our branches. The first one we're actually starting with is Lebanon Junction, and Hillview is kind of the second. And we're doing them sort of at the same time. And by refresh, what we're going to do is, first we are going to be painting the inside of the building to make it look larger than it actually is. It's a dark color right now, so we're going to lighten it and take our brand. We have a brand that's kind of the teal colors, the light grays and yellows, and put that brand into the Lebanon Junction so we make sure that we all know we're part of Bullitt County Library. And it's not just Lebanon Junction, it's just not Hillview, Mount Washington, or Nichols, then it's Central, it's all of us. So that we've heard, we already actually have a request out for bid for that, so we should be getting that back and starting it this late fall, early winter to have it painted. Then we are going to be working on the outside exterior to enhance the train accents we have on the exterior, so those are a little bit pulled out, as well as we're trying to figure out how we're going to get a monument sign. If you've been by Central or Nichols Branch, they have the monument signs. Mount Washington and Hillview will get the one, and we're just figuring out exactly where we can put it and where before we start looking at ordinances, so it'll be more visible down the street. Then we are going to be taking, I call it the monstrosity. It's, if you've been to Lebanon Junction Library, if you haven't, I highly suggest you come in. We'd love to have you. It's a large piece in the middle of the library when you first walk in. That will be removed to make more seating areas. We are putting some, we have our 3D printer, and we'll be putting some other Maker Lab accents in there. Then we are going to have carpet clean. They're going to be, we just took a programmer that we were sharing with Central and actually installed her completely in Lebanon Junction. So she, if you know Jillian, she's been around. She's out all the time in Lebanon Junction doing Orem outreach and does children's and young adult programming, and we have someone assisting with adult programming. We're going to be doing some arts programs. We're hoping to have conversation and coffee, which we'll bring in some speakers for. Then in the spring, we'll be doing a refresh of the outside back garden, which will be including landscaping. We're putting in permanent story walks, so they're not just signs kind of stuck in the ground, because that's one of our, for the kids to walk around and read the story. Refreshing the garden area, so it'll be enhance the story walk also. So with that, we hope that our numbers for Lebanon Junction, not only our door numbers, we have faith in Jillian, the door numbers will go up because she can bring people in for programming. She's excellent. But also our circulation numbers, people will be checking out more items because they'll be wanting to come in and see all the things that we have there. One of the big advantages that Lebanon Junction has that some of the even larger branches don't have is Library of Things. Central's only large library that has that. Nichols and Levin and Junction as another thing. Library of Things, we call it the try it before you buy it. So if there's something that you need and you don't want to go buy it, or something you need and you thought, I don't want to go rent it, or I just want to see what it's like, we may have it at the library. You can even order it and have pick it up another one. Pressure washers, different games for kids if you're having a party, bubble machines, karaoke machines, tools, crafting, all of that. You can just pick up at the library. You don't have to go purchase. You can actually just check it out for a month, bring it back to us when you're done, or renew it again. So that's something Lebanon Junction has that very few of our libraries have. So we're hoping that with that, and we get the community involved and more excited about the library, because you wanted the Lebanon Junction Library. We built the Lebanon Junction Library. We're refreshing the library to make it look pretty much brand new by the time we're done. We're bringing in programmers to do their jobs as library staff. So we're pushing all our efforts toward Lebanon Junction as much as we can now that Central is settled, and we are hoping that'll bring people in. As community members, I encourage you to take advantage of this jewel that you all have. I don't think people realize exactly all the things the library has to offer and the staff that they can give you. So if you ever just are in doubt, come in, talk to my staff members. They know what they're talking about. They love the community. They were at Trunk or Treat. They handed out candy. They found out things about the library. And that's our goal. Our goal is to make our branches shine as much as our central branch has these last 7 weeks. So just wanted to put everybody's mind at ease and let everybody know that we're here. We're in for the long haul. We're going to make it look beautiful. And we're going to hope that more people will even come out and visit us than have before.
Sounds cool.
If you have questions, feel free to contact the library. You can ask for me. My name is Tara, like Gone with the Wind. I'm very library-esque, I guess. It was proven when I was born. And you can ask for any of my staff. They will all answer it. You can go in and talk to the branch manager, Sherry, at the Lebanon Junction branch. And we'll be happy to answer any questions you have about any of our locations, but specifically LJ. Okay?
Really appreciate
thank
you coming
you
again.
Me.
Thank you very much. Right, we move on to the zoning 2022-12.
Ordinance number 2022-12, an ordinance related to the rezoning docket 2022-55 of 0.12 acres more or less located at 272 West Oak Street, listed in the PBA office as parcel number 041-SWP-19-001. Located within the city of Lebanon Junction, whereas Jerry Hume has applied on behalf of the owner of 0.12 acres more or less located at 272 West Oak Street, listed in the PBA office as parcel number 041-SWP-19-001, located within the city of Lebanon Junction, whereas said owner has applied according to law for a change of zoning of said acreage from R2 residential to R4 residential. Whereas the Bullitt County Planning and Zoning Commission has given a non-favorable recommendation and recommends the zoning request be denied for the following reasons. Number one, the requested zoning change is not in agreement with the adopted comprehensive plan. Number two, opponents stated the following objections: potential effects on property values, proposed structure would be inconsistent with existing structures in the area. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, that Section 1, the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction either accepts or rejects the recommendation of the Bullitt County Planning and Zoning Commission. Section 2, this ordinance shall take effect upon publication according to law. Section 3, should any clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remainder of this ordinance. Section 4, all ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance or any part of this ordinance are hereby repealed. And I'll add that, point out that, you know, so for voting purposes, just because I know this gets confusing sometimes, it is a non-favorable recommendation. So if you vote to accept, that would be accepting that non-favorable recommendation and doesn't deny the zoning. If you reject the Planning Commission's recommendation, it would be approving the new zoning. Does that make sense?
Sir, we'll call a roll.
We have to have a motion.
Yeah.
Motion.
Let me see if I can get this right.
I'm going to make the motion that we go with the comprehensive plan and not do the rezoning. Is that correct, Hayden?
Yeah, so I think what you're trying to say, Teresa, is a motion to accept the non-favorable recommendation.
That's what I'm trying to make, a motion to accept it. Thank you. Second.
Motion made to go along with the comprehensive plan as rejected and seconded. That's our call and roll.
Jenny.
Accept.
Joe.
Accept.
Tim.
No.
No. Connie.
Accept.
Abby.
No.
Teresa.
Yes, accept.
Okay, so that's a majority accepted the non-favorable recommendation from the county, so therefore the zoning request is denied.
So it's 4-2. Okay. Rezoning. Read the ordinance, please, on 2022-13.
Okay. Ordinance number 2022-13, an ordinance related to the rezoning, document 2022-57, of 0.271 acres, more or less, located at 191 South Poplar Street, parcel number 042-N00-02-010, located within the city of Lebanon Junction, whereas Turnaround Resource Center is the owner of 0.271 acres, more or less, located at 191 South Poplar Street. Same parcel number as right before, located within the city of Lebanon Junction, whereas said owner has applied according to law for a change of zoning of said acreage from R2 Residential to B2 Central Business. Whereas the Bullitt County Planning and Zoning Commission has given a favorable recommendation and recommends the zoning request be approved for the following reasons. Number one, the requested zoning change is not in agreement with the adopted comprehensive plan, but it seems to be justified in that the resource center is needed by the community. Property has been used for many years before planning and zoning was in effect. Number two, because the testimony received at the public hearing, the Bullitt County Planning Commission recommends this requested zoning change be approved, even though it is not in agreement with the comprehensive plan. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction, Bullitt County, Kentucky, that Section 1, the City Council of the City of Lebanon Junction either accepts or rejects the recommendation of the Bullitt County Planning and Zoning Commission. Section 2, this ordinance shall take effect upon publication according to law. Section 3, should any clause, line, paragraph, or part of this ordinance be held unconstitutional or invalid for any reason, the same shall not affect the remainder of this ordinance. Section 4, all ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict with this ordinance or any part of this ordinance are hereby repealed. So this is one that was given a favorable recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. So if you accept their recommendation, it would be approving the new rezoning.
Need a motion? Someone want to make the motion?
Motion to accept.
Second.
Motion made, regularly second. Call a roll.
Joe.
Accept.
Connie.
Accept.
Teresa.
Accept.
Allie.
Accept.
And Jenny, you abstain. And Tim.
Yes, accept.
So that's passed, so the zoning is approved, and it'll be B2 Central Business.
All right, next we have the local agreement with the county for the future EMS building.
Myself and the county attorney have prepared a lease agreement in between the City of Lebanon Junction and the Bullitt County Fiscal Court. The purpose of the agreement is for the construction of a new building for the use by the Bullitt County Emergency Medical Services. The building will be located behind the current firehouse here in Lebanon Junction. The term of the lease would be for a 20-year lease. It would commence once this agreement is approved by both the city and the county. I know if this gets approved tonight, it'll be on the county's next agenda. I know this has been discussed previously, but this would be, if this lease agreement is approved, it would allow the city and the county to move forward. The city does own the ground, but it's my understanding that the county is going to pay for the new infrastructure, the new building to be built. And this would be for a 20-year term. And what the the mayor would need is a motion to approve the lease agreement and to authorize the mayor to enter into the lease agreement.
What happens after the 20-year term?
Yeah, you know, at that point, the city and the county could renegotiate.
Renegotiate it. Just.
Okay.
I would say there's a really good chance it would get renewed, or
yeah.
Just curious.
Or maybe at that point, given to the city, or you know, I think it's that you know, we talked about that. We thought 20 years was a good term because you know we can kind of reevaluate 20 years where things are at. It may be at that time that the county just gives the building to the city, or maybe we'll extend the lease.
Okay.
Yep.
The detrimental part of it was in the discussion that I had heard was you don't want to get tied up into this 100-year leasing. You don't know what's going to happen in 21 years. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So when you start saying 100 years, you don't know if that'd even be there in 100 years. So I kind of stand by the agreement as it is myself, you know. Beneficial to all concerned, especially those who need ambulance.
It is. It's a good thing that's happening. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a great thing that's happening.
It is. I
appreciate
it.
Yeah. So,
make a motion that we enter into this agreement and allow the mayor the leeway to negotiate.
Second.
Motion been made and regular second to pursue on with agreement as is. Call the roll.
Jenny?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Allie?
Yes.
And Tim.
Yes.
All right, that's good. Judge and magistrate, I appreciate y'all's input into all of this. For those who don't know how hard y'all work diligently to get this for us, one good step forward for it, and I know it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Like I said over there the other day at the fiscal court meeting, a long time all we fussed about was we didn't have an ambulance. It was at 245. Now we have an ambulance. It looks like we're going to have a building. So that's a great move forward. It just is. And it has two bays for growth for another ambulance. So it's just a blessing. It just is. Thank you so much. The sewer project is complete to resolve the infiltration into the city. That's the one where we got the $395,000. It's been going along over here. And to move forward a little bit with that, I'll let Matt discuss it.
Thank you all for having me. I apologize. I wasn't here last month, but one of my colleagues filled in my shoes. The project's complete, like the mayor said, as of October 28th. Fortunately, you guys were one of the few projects across the state with the cleaner water that actually you came in under budget. Right now, with bidding prices and everything, we're seeing things 2 to 4 times the cost of what the estimate was. What we have outstanding or remaining of the project funds is approximately $93,000. And in talking with Chaz and talking with the mayor about where we can utilize that money can be moved up to 2 times to an additional project that fits within the Cleaner Water Grant Program. And we've looked at out Eskridge Drive and then Dennis Road to take out some more dead end lines to help improve the water quality in the distribution system. So, two things that I would like to ask council if you guys were so willing, the execution of Exhibit 11, which is a certification that the project's complete. It's one of the closeout documents that we have to submit to KIA. And then the second is a request for reallocation of that $93,000 to be utilized toward those water lines. If anybody has any questions, feel free to ask.
No question.
You make a motion. Go ahead.
Do we need to make a motion?
Yes,
we
do.
Take the two action items in perspective and do an execution of Exhibit 11 and execution of request for reallocation of the
$93,000.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Motion made, regularly seconded. Call the roll.
Connie.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Jenny.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
only other two things I've got one to bring up is last month I got to miss out on some of the good news about and report to you guys about what you all had asked Hayden and I to negotiate on behalf of the city of being able to stand the ground where the ratepayers of Lebanon Junction are not going to be held responsible for development of private land. And we've obviously made good with what we said in doing that. That project, as far as the utility lines that Lebanon Junction is getting reimbursed for 100% and complete, we're about 70% complete with that design. So once we get that to that point, I'm going to be getting up to Chaz the next couple of weeks. We're going to go look at it, make sure that everything is up to his standards of what he wants, and then that will move forward to submittal to Division of Water. So just wanted to give you guys an update on that and let you know I hated missing that, but at the same time, I enjoyed where I was a month ago. So appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you've been doing for us. Appreciate it. That's the second fairly sizable job that we've had in the city in the last year or two, and it went really well this time. I mean, not that the last one didn't, but these people came back seated, strawed. I mean, it's a good job. They've done a fantastic job. They did. Okay, we'll call the sign-in sheet. Mr. Redmond?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up something about the, it's actually the same project that the sewer line's going in, and it's the buildings going in beside the ballpark, which they're asking for some variances on that project. And so since that property actually abuts the ballpark, which the ballpark looks like it's people are enjoying it, a lot of people going to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to squeeze the ballpark when they do take over the property over there, but they're asking for a variance on the parking, which maybe it's needed, maybe it's not. It's really hard. What they're really required to have is 5,900 parking spaces. But they're asking for a variance of 1,260. I mean, that's like 20% of what they should have. Now, I know maybe their use is a little bit different, but that just doesn't seem like a whole lot of, that's a big difference. And to me, maybe they'll be parking at the ballpark and in the neighborhood if it's not enough parking. So I'm not really sure, being that the city owns adjoining property, I mean, wouldn't it be prudent for the city to look into that a little bit?
I know there's been, you know, no discussion about any parking on city property. I think it would be a really good idea for citizens and employees or council members can attend the Board of Adjustments meeting on Thursday. I think the applicant will be able to provide you all the information about the details of why they're asking for the variance. I know there's actually two variances on, so I know that'll be Thursday. That's the Bullitt County Clerk's office building. I think they meet on the third floor, too, the third or second floor?
That's third floor, yeah.
Third floor, okay. So I think it's a really good idea to attend that, and then the applicant will be there and be able to explain why they're asking for what they're asking for. But, you know, of course, that doesn't come before the council, and that's completely the Board of Adjustments.
Right, so I'm hearing two different things that people on city council can and they can't.
I don't think there's any. I think city council members could attend.
And if you're not voting on a variance, why wouldn't
you?
Yeah,
I think they could attend. You know, they just always have to be mindful if there's the council needs to be mindful that if there's ever more than four, that they make it clear that it's not a city meeting and it's not a quorum. But other than that, I think it would be fine to attend.
Okay, there's a second type variance they're asking for that normally they would have a 50-foot setback for their building. They're asking for a 10-foot setback. So that means that they're going to be within 10 feet of someone's property. Now, I don't know if you want a 40-foot tall building within 10 feet of your property. When they call for a bit, seems a bit much to me. It's just that they can afford to do just about anything. You know, it's a multi-million-dollar project, and they're squeezing adjoining property owners. Yeah, they're asking that the variance be changed from they want to encroach 40 foot into the 50 foot setback, which means you got 10 foot left over. So I would think that, I mean, you know, objections do help if that's what you think should be done.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're concerned about it, the appropriate forum would be to attend that meeting, and yeah, I know they have a sign-in sheet just like we do. And be welcome to anybody who comes. You know, that's why it gets noticed like this, and there's a public hearing. I'm sure the Board of Adjustments would take any testimony into consideration. Yeah,
so hopefully the city would be interested in attending that, and the city property does about their property.
Right. I don't have the drawing in front of me that I had that came with that. But Mr. Redman, I'm not sure.
Yeah, this one didn't come with the drawing.
I seen one. Somebody gave me one. I don't know where it was. But they have maintained a lot number, if I'm not mistaken, for each area. And I can't be saying I'm going to be quoted as I'm perfect on this, but I was thinking, and my question was the same thing. I didn't want to know. I want to know where they're moving closer to.
Right.
I believe it's.
I'll speak up if you want me to.
Go ahead.
My understanding about where the encroaching is occurring is on the southern portion of the property. It'd be CSX's property. In relationship to the ballpark and talking about the city's adjoining property, that at that entrance, the drawings that I have from them, they have their access road, parking, then the building. So they're outside of that 50-foot buffer at the ballpark. So I don't think, still go to the meeting, still ask the questions, but I'm just giving you a little bit of information, what I have, that's the case, that the ballpark still has the 50-foot setback.
Yeah, because there's like four different drawings out there right now. So
you understand my frustration.
Well, I was in construction, so whoever's running the project is supposed to make sure they have.
That's reason you have a set.
You got to have the right set. Throw the other one for what?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. The building is within 10 feet of somebody's property. What happens with fire? Trying to get around to it.
This is the last. That's the only one signed the thing. So.
Yeah,
that's what I've
got on two sides. There's
information
for the courthouse meetings on the back
side of that paper. Right. Oh, you
talk about on this paper. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to hand it out.
All righty.
We'll move right on. That's all I had.
All right, thank you. Under new business, we have future ARPA prospects. One thing we looked into, Teresa, you want to elaborate on this?
Yes, been checking into the flashing sign for the speed limit and got to go ahead to get us a quote on it. And Larry said for four of the signs, and that Terry would be responsible for pushing them around town in different places. I was pushing for eight, but I'm happy with four. So the price is $13,258. So I would like to make a motion to go ahead and be able to order these with All Traffic Solutions. And thanks to Josh Coleman, he's the one that sent me this information. So it was some good stuff. I'd like to make a motion that we pursue with the ARPA funds to do this.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
Is that the total for the four signs?
Mm-hmm. Would you like to see it?
No, I believe
he has one. He has one. Okay.
Yeah. I'd just like to say the sign that's been placed out there has made me more mindful of traveling through town and making sure I stay under a speed. And I see it a lot as I'm at the center just outside. People see that and it's like, it makes them know,
reminder.
Be careful, be safe. And I really like the idea of increasing that, especially on Church Street and in other areas where we live.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that up.
And the good thing about it is they're portable. We can pick them up and move them to different locations. So if somebody don't get used to them, just be sitting there. And then we can take a survey in areas where we get a lot of complaints. And I tell our officers where to go. And then, like I say, they come in sets of two. And then, all right, any other discussion?
Give a second.
Yes. Motion made, ready, second, to pursue on with trying to get four from the ARPA money. Call the roll, please.
Jenny.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
Connie.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
All right. Next on the list I have for trying to use our ARPA money to the best that we can get the more bang for our buck is I would like some discussion up, and we move forward if we may, on the digital meters, the water meters. And we have talked to, Chaz has been talking to somebody about the prices. We're trying to get prices for it because we have to get a couple of bids for it if we want to pursue it. But not being able to transition that into our system all at one time, and Redline, who does ours, which has really made our water bill stuff so much better, we're looking at not trying to do inside the city, get the outer ones, which is a lot harder for us to read. You go into the country, you have all out Cedar Springs and different places. So if we want to dabble into this to move forward and make them all water digital in the future, where you don't have to dip the water out and this and that and everything else, they're not real cheap. They're going to run us in the area of, I think, Chad, what was $300, not counting installation.
Yeah, but that's $300 each, right?
Yeah, per meter. But when you get involved into it, it could be up as high as $450, $500 time you get it done. Plus, you have to get the equipment to read the deals with. That's not in that. That's the meter price itself. And we have about 170, what?
177
residentials in the outer line areas. So if we would like to pursue this and branch into it, that would be a good starting place, and we can get our feet on the ground with what we're doing, and we'll have the money for that. Then as it goes on, if we want to come into the city, we'll phase it into areas, and eventually we'll get it all. So that was one of the avenues that I had liked to support to try to use the ARPA money on that would really, really help as far as getting the meters read correctly and a lot easily, save time and effort. So, like I said, it's just a wish right now. What y'all's thoughts?
I think it would be great, yeah, if we can move in that direction.
And it's one of the areas they really approve us doing it.
With the ARPA money, if it is covered, and we know the ARPA money will not be around forever, obviously, the future of the city getting it, that would be on us in the future, correct? Mm-hmm. And not the payer, or not the person, the tax, correct?
Right. I mean, okay. We won't move any further with it unless we can afford it.
Okay.
And it would have to come from money that we've accrued into the waterworks and the sewer system as it comes, and we've been doing really good with that. As you heard into the report today, the water sewer is doing great. Everything's moving forward. If it requires enough to do another section, we'll minimize that section to the amount of money we have. Okay. It's not something I don't feel like that we would want to get out there and say, oh, this is great. It's better since sliced bread came along. Let's do them all and go in debt. The first thing is I like to make sure it works, how it works. And if we have issues, we know what you're throwing over.
My pen
just fell apart. So, like, any discussion on it? I mean,
I just have one other question, and that makes me think. We have 177 residents that would be affected immediately. How many are in? How many do we bill out?
945.
Okay, so you're looking at in a future of 700 more additional, at least.
Yes.
That we need to look at.
And see, our meters are read by books.
Okay.
So you have book one, book two. You've seen us. You've been around enough to see that down there. So you would actually take the books that you would want to do and take that area and move forward.
Wow.
But we can make this one happen with what we got.
With what we got.
Okay.
Are these the ones on top of the meter holes? The little white ones, what you're shooting?
Yeah.
They're real low profile. Yeah, they're real low profile. I can say a lot more than that.
Little round thing on top of your meter top.
Right.
Book 9 and 10 is the high pressure end. Pine Tavern, Sanders Lane, Old Boston Road, Mount Carmel, Stone, Cedar Springs, Harness Subdivision. It'd take 2 days to read those meters in the wintertime, you know, Dale and Caleb, two people.
Were these battery powered, I guess?
Yes.
Little disc batteries, like a watch battery type.
You know, Matt's been associated with it.
Typically, the industry standard is a 20-year battery. The thing with these meters as well, with your traditional positive displacement that spins, that's a mechanical item, so it slows down in time, one. Two, it has a lower limit of 1/4 gallon per minute reading. Anything less than 1/4 gallon per minute, the positive displacement just don't register. So that's a contributing factor into your all's water loss. These meters can go down to 1/10 gallon per minute. So you're gaining quite a bit of low flow usage there that's going to be recorded and registered for their water usage and help reduce your water loss, which has really become, in the last 5 to 10 years, has really become a big deal. But you all aren't PSC regulated. The PSC has really cracked the whip on that.
Have you got a time in mind? In the future.
Well, right now, we're at the stage where Chaz is getting the prices together on them and what have you. I just want to know we're going to move forward with it. I don't want to spend our time doing it if the council didn't want to bless this and to move forward with.
I mean, I think it's going to
get the numbers together, two prices, three prices, whatever we can get, and then come back with our sum.
6 months.
We'll need a motion to entertain bids for the job because it's ARPA over $30,000. You have to have a bid.
Is this something we install ourselves, or does it have to be done by
put it out? Well, that's what Sarah's saying, that ARPA requires us to have a motion to put it out for bid to the people that wants to bid it, and they have to have two bids to sustain life, to make us legal to use our money.
I'd like to make a motion. We move forward with just Chaz checking the price on these individual meters and.
Well, when we put it out, the price will come with the bid.
Okay, to get a bid for it. Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Second.
Second.
Motion been made, regularly seconded, to move forward with applying, getting it out there to have us bids on replacing the meters to the digital. Sarah, call the roll, please.
Connie.
Yes.
Allie.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Jenny.
Yes.
Tim.
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes.
We get this done, that'll move us up in the future a little bit better, you know, as far as sooner or later we have them all.
Yeah, and under the final rule, that would absolutely be an acceptable expense for ARPA, so definitely something the city can do.
Yeah, I'll talk about that lady coming down and dating the fact that the bill was such a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and also, too, a lady came by from the one that kind of keeps us in check with the ARPA, and she overlooked what we've been doing, what we tried to do, what we're thinking about doing, and she went up, and the pavilion at the cemetery, she said, was probably one of the most awesome things she has seen the ARPA money spent on. She just absolutely loved it, so that was a great choice. ARPA money's been good. I'm glad we're finding good uses for it. Okay, moving right along. The decorations at the park can be put out December the 25th and on.
November 25th.
That ain't what I meant. Well, we see that.
Well, I got kind of. I want to explain this a little bit. I got turned around because I got to lighten it up the 2nd of December before we could put them out. So, backing up to the putting out, I think we'll try to get them out November 25th. Be a start date for putting them in the park. Now, let's go back up one line, and we will be lighting up the park December the 2nd, 6:30, as usual. We will start over here at the caboose, and we will walk down to the park and light the park up. It's a good festive thing that we have for the Christmas season. It's really, it's wonderful for all of those. And we'll have Santa Claus down there, as we always have in the past, and hopefully some of the churches will have some people singing songs.
St. Benedict's.
It's wonderful. It just is. All right. Flags will be placed on the cemetery by the VFW December the 9th. So Jimmy Reynolds them said that's a done deal. They'll take care of it and everything else. I would like to thank St. B. I made their breakfast Saturday morning in honor of the veterans. We had a veteran breakfast. It was a success. It was really good. And to enhance our heartfelt things that goes on in this town, they had a fundraiser at the church up here. That went good. And also I went to the VFW at Shepherdsville, and they had a really outstanding thing over there also. So Veterans Day will be Friday. It was an all-day event for bouncing around, but I like to think everybody was involved in that. All was put out, and we have to really make sure that we keep in mind our veterans and their families. If it's Friday coming up being Veterans Day. All right. Terry? Chief?
I had 135 runs for October. But other than that, I'm doing okay. Everything's good.
Yep. Chaz?
Number two sewer pump down at the sewer barn. Last Saturday, number two went down. The soft start went out.
On
the old pump, not on the new one. We've already replaced the soft start on pump number one. The guy, luckily they had one on the shelf. We put it in today. It's not all the way hooked up. So we've been running with one sewer pump coming back to the sewer plant, but it ain't no big issue now because of we cut that infiltration down 50% of it out. But the soft start dip was soft up $3,800 just for the soft start. The computer for that pump. He'll be back in the morning to program it. Go with the number one, two pumps. So now I've got a list of things we've done. Where they have water about 10% on the water loss this month.
And we did have the electricians come to the barn today.
Yeah, I ain't got no power at the city barn, but I don't want to advertise that.
Well, the thing about it was the line.
Better say Babel to move, right?
Tom, don't put that in the paper.
Well, the thing about it is the salt is depleted the line going to it, and we got the KU just jump right on it. They're coming over and helping us set a new pole. We'll put a new meter base and everything in it, so. All righty. Adam?
We have 37 runs for month October. You have the IRST stuff in front of you. I think we, third quarter, is $20,000 from the incidents that we were able to recover some of our costs. Our gear lockers will be in, I think, at the end of this month. And then we have to send the fire truck off to get some repairs. The fuel tank rusted. Just odd hand stuff, pins, stuff like that. Other than that, going good.
All right, Connie?
Good.
Good. Teresa?
Just want to thank Judge Summers and Joe for coming out tonight. I appreciate y'all coming. And want to let everybody know that's the veterans. They're having a lunch at Faith Assembly Friday at noontime. So veterans are invited. And that's all.
Ready? Joe?
Good.
Tim?
Terry, I was curious. I hadn't heard anything well about your camera program. Is that going pretty well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everybody adapted to it well? Doing well with it? Okay. And that, thank you for the report on the runs and all. I appreciate that for the fire department. Shows what we're doing. I appreciate that. That's all I've got.
Allie?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the fire department for rescuing my grandchild, whose pickup truck caught on fire on 65. I'm really grateful for what you did for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was going to write you a note, but I decided I'd just get up and speak.
That'd be just fine.
All right. Jenny?
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone who came out for the October 31st trunk or treat. It went well. The Ministerial Association sponsors it every year. We had a great turnout. It kept on, it kept on. It did get a little cold, but we always have the best hot chocolate in the world down there with us. Makes it still well. And then I know last meeting I mentioned the nostalgic feeling that I had at the firehouse for the pancake breakfast. I found myself out on our ballpark this past month with my son. He was playing on a softball team, and the lights came on, and it was just a great feeling. And I like what I'm seeing in our city. I like how we're growing together and working together, and I look forward to whatever is. I mean, we have a lot of great things happening too. Let's focus on that.
Well, let's just say remind everybody to get out and vote tomorrow.
Like, thank everybody's come out tonight. Appreciate it. Seemed like a really good meeting, productive. Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second. Both been made. Adjourn. Second. Call the roll.
Joe. Tim. Jenny. Bonnie. Teresa.
Yes.
And Allie.
Yes.
You don't take something.